are listening to the Wild Soul Podcast, a podcast for the wild ones. Join me, your host, Queen Namaste, as we embark on a journey to find our true north and our own unique path. From wild, inspired conversations to searching for life's hidden gems and meanings with a little dash of crazy in between. Because really, who doesn't want to dance to the beat of their own drum? Hey guys, happy hump day. Welcome to the Wild Soul Podcast. I am your host, Queen Namaste, aka Shannon Pitas. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for popping in. About me, I'm a yoga instructor, new podcaster, and just love listening to people's stories and meeting new people and sharing experiences. So welcome. And if it's not your first time, welcome back. I appreciate you coming in for the listen. Today we talk to my good friend Jessica Wild. She is an entrepreneur, a healer, a speaker, a teacher, and she is a wild soul. I will let you guys know just before we get started that there is still time, yo. If you are listening to this podcast and you like it, and even if you don't like it, send a rating my way or a review or all three if you want. If you want to subscribe too, that'd be sweet. But basically, you got until the end of the month to rate a review, even if it's a 1-star. I don't care. I will take it. I love feedback. Screenshot your review screenshot it and then email me the screenshot at shannonpetersfitness@gmail.com. So that's shannonpetersfitness@gmail.com. And at the end of the month, I will pick one winner out of how many people send me their review, and you can win $50 just for listening to free content. You get paid to listen to free shit. So if that interests you, go write a review. Takes 2 seconds. I really appreciate it. And yeah, you could be winning 50 bones. You could be $50 richer. Whoop. All right. So this one is a longer episode. So thank you for tuning in. And if you got to listen to it in parts, that's cool. But don't miss out. Jess has a lot of good info in here. We talk about everything, literally everything. So holla, let's go.
You're like, okay, this is Jessica.
Yeah.
So what, should I call you Wild then?
No? Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, why
Jessica
not?
Jessica Wild. How fitting.
Yeah, I know. I have to change the name, so why the heck not?
Oh, yeah.
It's the first thing that came to mind.
Wild. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And you're on the Wild Soul podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you for coming. I'm so excited.
Thank you for having me.
Let's just get right into it. Yeah. I say that all the time. Let's just start.
Yeah.
Jump in. I guess, like, I want to, like, you to tell your story, because your story is really cool. But also, how we met. Because I don't even think we've met. We've met in person, like, maybe once or twice before right? Like,
yeah.
We haven't, like, seen each other much in person, which is weird. But,
our connection has been through online.
Yeah.
Through supporting each other, social media and stuff.
Yeah, because
I saw liking each other's shit.
Yeah, I just randomly found you. I think it was before you were working at Oxygen, and you were doing, like, personal training or personal coaching?
Yeah,
because you had really cute pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of you, like, lifting weights and shit, and you had long hair back then.
Yeah.
I was like, you're cool. And then, kept following you like a little creep, and then started teaching at Oxygen.
I didn't know that those were the pictures that grabbed you. I had no clue.
Yeah.
You're like, what a babe. There she is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was when I was working with a personal training app, and I was like working a lot online and like building my social media presence.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm doing it, but just in a completely different way.
Yes. So tell the audience who Jessica Wild is.
So most people know me as Jessica Fado or Jessica Bertaldo. We'll take it back. We'll take it way back. Fado is my married name. Which I'll be changing soon because I'm divorced. I've been divorced for about a year. Before that, it was Bertaldo. Neither of the names.
Bertaldo,
which is my Italian lineage, my Italian cultural background. Neither of them resonate with me. So I have to change my name. And I just was kind of sitting with it in meditation one day. And I was like, what do I want to change my last name to? I'm like, oh, and I was even going through like baby names on the internet trying to figure it out. Because I'm down to like for it to have like a first name as a last name. And I'm like, I don't want anything like super tame, like Jones or like Smith. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I wanted something a little bit more that like spoke to the essence of like who I am today. That, you know, so far is what I've discovered of myself and wild, like the untamed soul, which is not your podcast.
Yeah,
it's like,
dude,
that's literally what I want.
Yes.
Free, freedom, human expression of self, like in a deep rooted remembering who you are, connected sort of way, removed from separation and fear. And to me, that's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so deep.
Yeah.
For a last name,
Disney.
Especially. That is you. You're so cool. You just have this Disney energy, and I was just drawn to you right away.
Yeah, ditto.
Aw, sure. That's so sweet, but you're way cooler.
Yeah, I don't know. I think our cool factor is pretty much on par.
Okay, fine. And I still never have taken a class of yours. God damn it. I'm going to take it.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, but it's funny because I have friends, or mutual, we have mutual friends, I guess, on Facebook. And,
yeah.
Or on Instagram, and they just comment on your classes all the time and how magical they are. And I'm like, fuck, damn it, I need to get into Jess's class.
I pump a lot of soul into my classes. Oh. Like, the people that come to my classes aren't really there for, yeah, of course it's physical, of course you get your good stretch in. I make sure I target all areas of the body. I combine anatomy, but my following is dominantly people that are woke and people that are there to feel something.
Yeah.
So my goal is to have someone leaving my class being like, what the fuck just happened to me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm feeling some things. I don't know if I'm comfortable with it. I don't know. Just kind of shake them up a little bit to the point where they're questioning themselves a little bit more. Because ultimately, yoga is a discovery of the self through the self. And I learned to love myself coming to my mat. And that's one of the main things that woke me up was doing yoga.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the beginning. So,
cool.
Who are you? If you had to, I've said this before, like elevator pitch for like yourself. Like, who are you in like 30 seconds? And go.
Totally. Human being. I'm a human being. I'm a being of light and love that's divinely connected to oneness. That's all of us, which is consciousness. That above all, I'm an existing being in this spinning rock in this physical world that we call Earth. But then aside from that, like, how do I'm living my call to action. So for me, living a life of purpose is what I need to be doing. So I'm a yoga teacher. These are my platforms for me to speak my truth and to affect change and to help wake people up. Yoga teacher, fitness instructor, spiritual healer, and I sustain the vibration of whoever I'm with and whichever group I'm with. So I actually plan and execute retreats internationally around the world.
Shit.
Yeah, so it's taking me to Bali, Italy, and Costa Rica this year. I'm going to Bali again in March.
Ooh.
And 2019 is going to be a big year because I'm ready to fully, because right now I'm working and I'm collaborating with a company that already has got it going, and it's kind of like, it's sort of her thing. And I'm, you know, her main facilitator, and we do it together. But, like, she started it from the ground up, and I'm ready to kind of branch out and do it on my own now. So I'm going to start my own company in 2019 and start – I want to do an island series in, like, all off the coast of Vancouver, starting off in maybe Bowen Island or Salt Spring. I'm going to – I don't know. Meditate
on
it.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm going to bounce around to all the different islands, Tofino, Yakulet, and
– that's so beautiful.
Plan a transformational weekends with people where you're ready to really, like – get back to your human, remembering your humanness.
Wow, that's so awesome.
Who we truly are. Removed from these fucking expectations and cars that we drive, but get back to like the rawness of the human experience. That's so outside of like any expectations that anyone could possibly have for you.
Yeah.
And build connections with like-minded people and in an amazing tribe. So longer than 30 seconds, yeah. But anyways.
Oh, good.
It's so not cool. A quick answer. It's not. It's like, what? Who you, right? It's like, oh, so many things.
Yes. I'm like, I've never been on a yoga retreat.
It's not going to be a yoga retreat, but yoga will, of course, be like woven into it as part of the philosophy and just like...
It's more like a spiritual...
Fitness journey. And movement creates, like, movement creates emotion. So it's good to just like, yoga is part of that exercise, that fitness game where we release and then we're ready to like rebuild. So yeah, there'll be like yoga classes in the morning, but it's not going to be like a yoga and meditation retreat. We're going to be doing... we're actually just literally talking about this morning.
Oh,
and we had a big feast in Maple Ridge. It's our favorite breakfast place in the burbs.
I love it there.
Not downtown. Downtown's a whole other beast. So many good restaurants down there.
Yep.
But we want to get some like-minded people together that are ready to do the work. That are like, maybe you're feeling a little bit unstuck. Maybe you're feeling a lack of connection to your purpose, to the world around you. So it's that time to disconnect so that you can reconnect to yourself in like a raw, authentic way. So there's so many activities that we want to be doing like with the group together that just like it's the ultimate release. Like uninterrupted eye contact with someone for 5 minutes.
Yeah, people can't do that.
You know
people
what I mean? She described this other exercise where it's like you're dancing with a chair and you're blindfolded and everyone else is sitting around watching. And at the beginning, you're like, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm like, going with a chair? Like, and then there's music playing. And then before you know it, you get so engulfed in the essence of that moment, you completely forget that other people are watching and you reconnect to this raw, wild experience of the self.
Oh my God.
And everyone's a witness. By the time you take off your blindfold, everyone's crying. It's beautiful.
There's
all of these amazing activities that you don't get exposed to on a daily basis that we want to start doing with people and have like themes every day, like talking about connection, rawness, self-love, shedding limiting beliefs, connecting to your truth, stuff like that.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
I want to come.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing like 3 or 4.
Absolutely.
Next year or...
Yeah, for sure.
This will be airing in.
I'm going to project for like at least 2 or 3 in 2019. If I break even, I'm more than happy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, like, let's go back to how you became woke.
Yeah. Good like question.
Just go back and.
So I became woke by being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just sort of crashed and burned. I was, grew up Italian, Catholic, did the whole first communion thing, swore in front of a church that I would never have sex before marriage, the whole bit, catechism, confession,
Oh, geez.
So, and I was a good girl. I listened. I was a really, really good kid growing up. Mostly because I was afraid, because of fear of, you know, just being, my soul will, you know, be destined, damned for hell if I do.
Yeah, it's so fear-based.
And it was so all much. Subconscious. Like it, and the thing is like, people are like, you're with a woman now, like you're gay. Like how did you always know? Like that's one of the main questions that I get. And I'm like, well, no, I didn't. I did, like I did know, but I didn't at the same time. Like there was a part of me that knew, but I would push it down to the point where I didn't know, if that makes any sense. Because I was so afraid of it being a different way that I suppressed myself and I didn't allow myself to feel the things that I was born to feel for another human being, woman or male, but we'll talk more about that later. That's a whole other conversation is like sexuality and like gayness and everything. So I grew up very strict and things had to be a certain way. I had to get married. I had to have the kid. I had to have the house. I had to have the car, the dog, the cul-de-sac. And I did everything.
The cul-de-sac.
I lived in a cul-de-sac in Maple Ridge with a house and a husband and the kid and the whole bit. Got married when I was 25. Met him when I just turned 20. Awesome dude. Like he made it really hard to leave because he's a solid human being. Nothing wrong with him. It was never him. It was me the whole time. Like I was not living my truth. So I was running an at-home daycare at the time because I was a preschool teacher before I did this. So I was at home with about 5 kids under the age of 6.
Good times.
And that's exactly what the universe needed me to do for me to die. So I died on my bedroom floor. It was one night where I was sleeping on a cot in the spare bedroom when I was... on the floor when I was doing my yoga teacher training, actually. This is when I was with, you know, Christine at Oxygen Yoga and everything and doing the yoga teacher training. And it was through that process that learning to love myself through yoga and through learning the philosophy and what it means to truly love yourself and not accept any less than what you know you deserve. And all of these things started to come in. And then it was a point where I couldn't even look in the mirror for probably like 2 or 3 months. And then I remember I was washing my hands and... my guides or something, you know, my angels were just like, look at yourself, look up now. And I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, you deserve better. Because I was just not living the life that I was meant to live for me. I was living the life that I was supposed to be living. And I did it perfectly. Mm-hmm. You know, I had cookie cutter everything. I had the Kate Spade China dinner parties for 12, like fucking Betty Crocker bullshit that I was, and that's great. So yeah. I'll just swear on your podcast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
you can swear. I'm like, oh, bleep.
No. I'm like, I don't know how to edit that.
Yeah. So yeah. I'll try to tone it down, though. Sorry
no,
about that.
No, say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, okay, yay.
All good.
I love this podcast. Yeah. So it was a moment where, yeah, I looked. It was actually a few moments. It was a few, was that one. And then it was... So wait,
hold on a second. So you were doing the yoga teacher training and you were still with your husband?
Correct, yeah.
And you had all this, like, realization while you were
experiencing. Didn't realize training. I was gay yet. Didn't realize that it was because I wanted to, like, live my life with a human being that identifies with their feminine just as much as their masculine. Mm-hmm. Which is a whole nother conversation with, like, me even saying I'm gay. Like, that's just a whole nother, because I'm not gay. I'm fluid. I'm just attracted to people. But
yeah,
anyways.
It's all energy.
That's all it is. I would be attracted to a dude, too, that embraces feminine just as much as a woman does, but it's really rare and hard to find. So, yeah, it was that moment, and then it was a moment where I was... on the bedroom floor, and psychologists call it a psychotic break, where I was having a really hard time and hyperventilating, and I died in that moment. Like, my soul just completely ejected from my body. And I've had a couple spiritual healers around the world, because I always go for either a healing session or a card reading everywhere I travel. Mm-hmm. And they've all said, you died, like, a year ago. I was like, yeah. Totally died.
Whoa.
I had Cassidy Carlson, Clarkson or Carlson. She lives in Port Moody. She's a spirit Reiki healer and spiritual healer. She comes to Oxygen Yoga and Fitness in Port Moody, and she told me that your soul has overlapped. So your old soul stepped out and a new one stepped in. And if you look at pictures of me two or three years ago, I was 200 pounds. I had long dark hair. I looked like I was 35. I was weathered. I was sick. I was tired. And I was miserable, and I didn't know why. And I woke up in that moment. I died, and then it's been a slow build since then. I left him about, and again, it wasn't him. I just really want to be sure, like, clear about that. Great dude, right? Yeah. Awesome father. And then it's just been a slow build since then. And I moved out, making, you know, terrified. I was so comfortable with my life with him. He's, you know, senior accountant, great job. I wouldn't have to have worried about anything the rest of my life, you know, financially or anything like that. And I knew that I had to do this for me. It was not a question. Otherwise, I was going to, like, completely self-destruct and turn. And eventually, like, I was already living a double life at that point. Mm-hmm. And I knew that it was going to be much worse, much, much worse. So it was a matter of me choosing my authenticity and picking me for the first time in my entire life. So I did that, and then I moved out with a friend. You know, it's so funny, because the moment you make those decisions, the moment you do, it's just like you getting this podcast and getting a mic.
Yeah.
The universe is just like, here you go, here you go, here you go. It's so terrifying in the moment to make, like, this was like a 3-year process for me to make the decision to leave.
Oh, yeah.
It was not an overnight decision, but it was to the point where I was dragging myself through the mud, and I was crawling on my hands and knees to work, which was down the stairs. So not that far. It's not like I was climbing down the street. Before I made the decision. But I'm so happy that I did, because I wouldn't be where I am today. And I am so fucking happy right now. Like, I'm just, everyone that knows me, like, just, I have a permagrin. Like, they're just what Kool-Aid are you drinking, man? I'm like, the Kool-Aid of truth.
Yeah.
it's so hard, but it's so good.
Oh my gosh.
Is that the new brave?
When you had that, like, dying experience, did you actually feel, like, your soul leaving?
Like, I did.
Oh my God, like, describe that to me. Just
yes. I have no reservations. I hope this isn't too raw, but I was actually smashing my head into the ground. It was really, really intense.
Wow.
My ex-husband was there for the whole thing. And I was crying and I was hyperventilating. And I actually stopped breathing for about 2 minutes. And I remember taking my last breath. And then it was and it was like, it wasn't like an instant. It wasn't like probably what you think it is, where you're like, I don't know, some, like, magical soul steps in, and they're like, and there's no necessities, the simple.
No,
don't,
like,
worry
like,
about
it. Like, did you, I know, no, like, you probably, like, holy fuck, what was that kind of thing?
It was like a knowing and a reassurance that it's going to be okay. So it was just like this warm, fuzzy feeling just kind of like went over me. And then I knew that I was going to be okay. There was like something that was holding my hand, and it wasn't, I was holding my own hand. It wasn't anything other than me that got me out of that situation.
Yeah. We are in control.
Yeah, totally. Like everything changed after that. That was like the defining moment. Yeah.
That's so
everything
sweet.
Changed. Even down to like my mannerisms, how I talked, how I walked. Everything changed.
Wow.
It's the craziest thing. It's the wildest thing.
So then you're like, okay, fuck it. I need to live in my truth. Like, yo, sorry, husband, but I gotta go.
And that's the thing, right? I used to make out with my friends when I was a kid. I was so bad.
Whatever. My first kiss was my best friend.
Yeah, right? like we all know their best friends growing up. Yeah. Secretly. I think so everyone's funny. Secretly in love with their best friend, yeah. Honestly. like deep down inside. I was attracted to women when I was a kid. I'm like the first person that I was ever like had sex with was a girl. My best friend. I won't say her name. Hey, we're not friends up? Now though, but oh.
Yeah,
she's married to a woman. Like she's super happy.
Nice.
And then I just started caring about what people thought of me when I was 12. And I started conforming around. I remember the day even, like the time. It was pretty much like middle school mm-hmm. where I was starting to realize that I was different from other people and that I liked different things and I wanted nothing more. And even the people that know me today, I'm still the same, but I do it differently now, obviously, more authentically, way more authentically, is that all I care about is connection. All I care about is people. Mm-hmm. All I care about is love. I care about love and being loved in the same way that I, unconditionally, like in the sense where it's that, like Wayne Dyer says in his book, to truly love someone is to love them without any expectation that they satisfy you.
Yes.
So that's my definition of unconditional love, but not in the sense that you get run over and that you take crap from people because you have to know what you're worth
100%.
At the same time and not let anyone else love you any less than you love yourself. So there's a few things that I've learned along the way. But I started conforming around 12.
Probably a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And we just don't take action. And there's so many people that just live those miserable lives of being unhappy. And
absolutely.
Just, like, I'm scared to try anything else.
Absolutely. And that's the main, that's my main clientele for my coaching and stuff. Is honestly, to be quite honest, is married women that were in similar situations as I was, and I'm helping them through it now because I've been through it in the most kind and gentle, loving, holding space kind of way.
That's so awesome, Jess. You're just, I love you.
Yeah,
love you too. Like doing so many amazing things for people.
Thank you. I can't
Your work is
do
good.
Anything else. Yeah. It's like my soul won't let me.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried doing the desk job thing. I've tried doing the 9-to-5. And I, like, my brain physically, like, does not compute. I don't know. It's the way I was wired. It's the way that I'm born. Like, the only way that I can thrive in this life is if I'm having conversations like this with people.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
so high. Thank you for having me and asking me such important questions.
I guess that was just, so like, good. One question.
Yeah. Like, and there's more, and we're already an hour in it.
Yeah, what time is it? Cool. Yeah, well, and I don't even know what to say. There's just so many things that you do, and I just want, like, if people don't know you, like, where they can, like, what you offer people, and yeah, talk about more of your stuff.
Cool, like, yeah, just... thank you. So I offer one-on-one coaching. I also do group sessions. I'm a private yoga instructor, and as well as group fitness, or group yoga, like corporate work, whatever you need, basically. And then I also plan and execute retreats. So, like, keep yourself posted on my Instagram, which is at WomanifestJess. What is it? Oh my God. WomanifestJess.
I'm like, fuck, what is it?
Which is like manifest, but instead of man, woman.
Nice.
Right? But it's basically, I'll probably change it again once I figure out, like, what I'm trying to figure out here, because it's just human beings as I enter into the whole spiritual aspect of that. You know, there being gender equality, that's like a whole nother conversation. We're human beings, like no boy or girl, no man or woman. Like we just are. We are all the same. These are the cars that we drive. It has nothing to do with who we're meant to be. So for now, it's at WomanifestJess. for Instagram. Facebook is Jessica Fado. And then I have a website, but it's under serious construction right now. So I just was at the working on it yesterday, and I took everything down.
And I'm rebuilding it. Yourself?
I'm rebuilding it. Yes.
I would literily lose my mind. I made someone do it for me. I'm like, I cannot do it. It's just like,
I'm this close to paying someone.
Oh, just do like, it. It's, your time is worth so much more than
I think I will. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So right now, like even my domain name is gonna change. So right now I don't really have anything other than my Instagram is the best way to reach me. So yeah, I do one-on-one coaching is the main thing. And then if you want to be part of the retreats that I'm planning, I'll be posting on Instagram.
So cool. You can, yes, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For 2019, I want to just, do more traveling because I hardly did any this year. And I suffered a little bit. My soul kind of dwindled. I'm like, I need to go away. Totally. How was Bali? Because I'm going.
When are you going?
I'm going in May for a whole month. I'm doing teacher training.
No way.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then I'm just going to stay. I'm just buying one more ticket.
Are you facilitating at it? Or are you taking
it? No, I'm taking more training.
You're doing your 300 hour?
No, it's 200 hour, but I don't even, like, what? We already have 200 hours, so if you do another 200 hour, that doesn't equal 400 hour. I think it's still 200. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I'm just going because it's...
You just want to do it.
Yeah, and do you know Ian Finn? Blissology?
No.
He's cool. Yeah. Well, you can Google him because he's dope.
I will. But he's a lot... So many cool people in the world today, isn't there?
He's a lot like you, like with the energy and connection and with nature too. He starts all of his classes. Mm-hmm. We're all like, he's like, get as close as you can. Like, so you'll literally be knee to knee with everyone and like a circle around his altar and like, we'll all just fucking just touch each other and just like,
breathe.
It's so awesome.
Physical touch is life.
Is that your love
pet language? Me and touch me. Oh, for sure. I'm yours. Just pet me. That's definitely. Awesome. Words of affirmation and physical touch all the way. What's yours?
Oh, no, those are not mine at all. Mine's quality time and acts of service.
Acts of service, yeah.
I'm like, fucking do the dishes. Don't just rinse them and leave them on the sink.
Take out the garbage without me having to ask.
He does that.
Yeah.
I'm roasting my boyfriend right now. No. He's really good.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
What were we talking about? How do we segue here?
How was Bali?
Oh, Bali. Yeah, Bali is epic. You feel the energy the moment you get off the plane. I say people either love Bali or they hate Bali. Because Bali is one of those places where you have to face your shit. It's so sacred and it's so powerful. And they pray 3 times a day when they're there. Like, there's temples on every corner. They have a temple for the individual family, a temple for, I think, the community, and then a temple for, like, the priest. Like the main, like the head, whoever, whatever they want to call it, the guru of the of that one community square. So there's like temples all over Bali. You see them everywhere you go. And it's like really sacred and powerful. I actually had, when I went there was an Italian girl her name's Alessandra. She has this unbelievable yoga academy in the south end of the island in Utuwalu, which is where I'm going to be heading after this retreat is over to just kind of like decompress and chill for a bit. And she's awesome. And I remember asking her, because she's lived there for 5 years. And she's like, I'm like, Ali, like, what is Bali? I'm like, it's so, here. Like, I don't even have words. And she looks at me and she's like, with her Italian accent, she's like, it's the island of the gods. And I was like, whoa. So powerful. The food is amazing.
That's what I keep hearing. Touristy
shit is awesome.
It's not too touristy. Sorry, I'm going to stretch my legs too.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty touristy. It depends like what area you go to, but Bali's pretty touristy. Yeah, it's super touristy. But they've maintained the temples and like the structures that really matter and like their traditions and stuff. So like when I was there, it was during Ugo Ugo, I think it was called, Ugo Ugo, where they build these beautiful statues and they march through the streets scaring off and warding off bad spirits.
Oh, cool.
And all of the lights and all of the streets for one night go down and nobody can leave their houses. So we were stuck in our hotels.
What?
And apparently the spirits go around the whole island, like all the bad spirits go around the whole island and they just like stare in because they're being kicked out, right? So then they just go off. And I remember going down to the beach with one of the locals that I had met there. He worked at the hotel. He was fabulous. Loved him. And we went down and we both, like he sensed and saw spirits too. And at one point I freaked out because one came at me, like came at both of us. Like it just charged us. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's been there the whole time. I was like, what the fuck? Like, their spirits are very powerful. Very powerful there. If you believe in spirit.
Oh, of course I do. That's something. Oh my gosh, let's talk about that.
If your listeners
talk about it. Let's talk about it. Okay, can you see spirit or what?
I can see it with my energy, if that makes sense. So I don't physically, it's not like the sixth sense where I physically will see.
You can feel it though.
I see bad energy in people, and I feel, so there's different types from what I've experienced in my life. It's within the human experience. So if you have bad energy that's attached to you, or evil energy that's attached to you, and I also sense and feel when there's an entity in the room.
Oh, fuck. You should come to my house. Yeah. Okay, can you see any on me?
Right now, in this moment?
Would you be able to see some? So, okay. So
it happens when I'm really connected.
Okay.
When I'm in, and right now I'm, really excited to be having this conversation, so my frequency is super high.
Yeah.
I'm not as grounded as I should be.
So, right now,
just to really feel it.
Beginning a yoga class, maybe, can you feel
100%
when people
I can tell and... when in the room, when I'm teaching a yoga class, who's going through shit, who's not. I know, it's like, you probably all feel naked now in my class. I shouldn't be saying this. Everyone's like, she can see my soul. But no, I can feel it. I can't see it, but I can feel what parts of the room, if someone's grieving, I can feel if someone is got just darkness around them. I can feel if someone's in pure love. I can feel when someone's processing a transformation or at the point of an awakening. I can just see it. It's just, I can see it through the energy. I also see auras though. That's where what I physically do see is auras. Sometimes color, but mostly it's just a white kind of a vibrating thing that's coming off of you.
Okay. So trippy. Okay. So yesterday, I was out with my dad and we were in this mall. And it was so random. He loves books. And there was this, a used book pop-up thing in the middle of the hallway. And it's just, a guy had tables. It was just, boxes of books that he was selling. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, Dad, do we have to... He's like, I just want to look or whatever. So my dad found some books. And then the guy selling the books, he was like, oh, what's your interest? And I'm like, I like yoga. And then he's like, oh, I got yoga books over here. I'm like, okay. So this went over, and then right beside the yoga books was the occult and stuff and tarot card reading books and witch stuff. And then there was one, a book, How to Connect with Your Spirit Guides. And I was like, and it was used and in a plastic package. It was so weird.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah, okay. So I bought it and then read a little bit on the way home yesterday. And that's funny that you're talking about aura, because that's what he's one of the first things in that book is he's talking about aura and how everyone has one and people can
kind
see
of like
it.
A mood ring.
Yeah.
It changes as you change and evolve during the day, even weekly, monthly. And it gets stronger or duller just in the same way that we change and evolve.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just like an energy that's it. And a frequency. We all emit frequency and vibration. Mm-hmm. At all times, and the universe has no other choice but to mirror it back for you. Mm-hmm. It's the law of attraction. If you've ever seen The Secret, I highly recommend it. But yeah, I see that vibration. Everyone can. People can feel this. We all have the ability to be healers. We all have the ability to see aura and to sense energy in the room, whether it be from an entity or an angel or a guide or just a soul that's in turmoil or being tortured, a physical being. I mean, we choose not to tap into it because either A, we're afraid of what we're going to find. Fear of the unknown is probably one of the biggest fears that exists in today's world. Or B, it's just pure ignorance. You just have no idea what it's about. Or C, it could be that it's not culturally acceptable, if certain religions don't support more of a spiritualistic approach and you're afraid to kind of basically fear just holds you back.
Oh, yeah.
But we feel it. And it's not taught in school. These things aren't taught about in school, no, right? I mean, maybe they are now. I hope they are, but...
I don't know.
I'm definitely 100% self-taught. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Other than my yoga teacher training.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was reading it to my dad a little bit while he was driving home, and he was like, you actually believe in that bullshit? Mm-hmm, and I'm like, how do you not, Dad?
Right? It's not socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just judgment.
People think it's so hooey wooey, but it's it just makes so much sense to me. It's how do you not believe
totally,
it?
Totally. There's just way too many things that are coincidences in life for it to be a coincidence, like, to me, I've completely replaced that word with synchronicity.
Yes, I love that word.
It's a synchronicity.
100% it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we get them all the time. And signs, we don't listen, we don't recognize them, but they are all around us all the time. The universe is talking to us and our guides and our angels and telling us where to go. Mm-hmm. That's where it's really fun to kind of have a deck of cards that you always use.
I just bought a deck of cards. With.
Good.
Yeah.
Which kind?
Shit.
Doreen Virtue. She's probably one of the most popular.
I think her name's Rebecca. Rebecca something. Mm-hmm. Like, be your Oracle of Light or something. They're awesome. Really beautiful cards.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they're, yeah. My dad was also like, yeah, you're going to be like one of those tarot card readers. There's a bunch of bullshit too. And I'm like, no. I'm like, it works. And he's like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, I first got the deck and I tried it with my sister and her friend, and her friend was going through something, like, really bad.
Yeah.
And, like, to a T.
Yeah.
And you even drew a card.
Every time.
You drew a card for me, too, not too long ago, and I was really struggling with that stupid 9-to-5
right,
bullshit.
Right, when you called me.
Yeah, I called you, and then you drew the opportunity card twice.
Yes. Yes, right, because it popped up before we even started the thing, and then when I did it again, it came out.
Yeah.
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 Cool. A lot of the things that come up in our own readings and when we have readings is stuff that we already know. 100%. It's already in our consciousness. We're just not recognizing it. But it's there, and it's probably already in the works. But we always need, like, reminders that we're on the right track and reminders that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's basically what cards do for you.
Yeah, that's like, what give our angels you that, are like, doing, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I noticed your book right there.
Yeah. The Empath's Guide to Survival.
Yeah.
Survival guide.
We should talk about that. What if someone doesn't know what an empath is?
Someone doesn't know what an empath is.
Yeah, what is an empath?
Jess? An empath is, that's such a beautiful question. An empath is someone that sees and feels and is highly, highly sensitive to energy all around them and that embraces it. We're all empaths, just like how I feel like we're all readers, we're all energy readers to a certain degree. But some of us have better mechanisms that we've been taught, pre-programmed, that we've been taught to block it out and to just deal with it. Suck it up. Be a man. You're too emotional. Come on.
Yeah.
Keep your chin up. That kind of thing. Those comments that we hear growing up.
Yeah.
Stop crying. Those sort of things. Take a few deep breaths, just breathe, get over it, right? It's these things that, like, where we suppress how we feel. But I think an empath is a human being that has the capacity to feel everything around them, that is, like, highly hypersensitive to connection and to people and to experiences, to food, to air, to water, to, like, altitude, to climate, everything, to fabrics.
Oh,
yeah.
So how is that? Was that your life before your wokeness?
Or was I?
Yeah, and, like, could you feel all the energy?
From the moment I was born.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been that way your whole life?
Yeah. I just, like, definitely learned those mechanisms to block it out and to just, like, ignore it. And then it just built and built and built and built to the point where I was screaming and I couldn't ignore it anymore. Yeah, like, even down to fabrics. Like, there's some fabrics that I cannot wear. And then, have you ever put on, like, a really nice linen shirt, like a white cotton or linen shirt, like somewhere tropical, and had, like, the cleanest salad ever and drank, like, the best water?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Amazing.
Right? And then, like, go to McDonald's and put on, like, a polyester suit in, like, the freezing cold, or I don't know if that's a good example, but,
like here.
Right? Yeah, like, it lowers your vibration. So you can, empaths can either do things that will increase their vibration or lower their vibration, but empaths are, I think, aware of it, which is really nice. Because if you're an empath, like, and you're ignoring those things, then you're really hurting yourself. But, like, again, I think that we're all empaths. So it's like everyone. It's like, I don't even like using the word empaths, because in this book, even she talks about the difference between, like, there's different types of people. But I don't know if I fully agree with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like different types of empaths?
Like different, no, just different types of people. Like some people that are not empaths and some people that are empaths. Like I think that we all have the capacity and the ability to be an empath.
Right.
Like it's just, we're all human beings.
And we get to choose, like,
yeah,
basically, if we want
to. Some of us just think that we don't need to listen.
Yeah.
We don't need to, like, adhere to, like, how we're feeling when we're being bombarded by, like, positive or negative energy, that we can just sort of, like, move on or, like, I don't know, go have a beer and sit down on the couch where it's like, no, you just got yelled at, you got attacked, it has nothing to do with you, but now you're taking on that energy and now you're self-destructing by putting 3 donuts in your face. Do you know what I mean? Whereas,
yeah,
like, a woke empath would be like, oh, okay, I'm feeling this, it's not mine, I'm going to sit with this because I'm feeling pain. And a lot of us know the acronym for pain is pay attention inside now. So we like quiet ourselves down, quiet our bodies and like breathe it through and then maybe go for a walk in nature. I hug trees. I love trees.
Tree hugging happy.
And kombucha tea and granola. Yeah. A real good trail mix.
Yeah.
Makes me feel awesome. Yoga.
Oh my gosh.
That's how I deal with my like empath overload is yoga. Child's pose.
Oh my god.
Kids do it
pose
from the moment they're born. Child's pose, I say this in my class all the time. Child's pose is child's pose, named child's pose for a reason. Like, have you ever seen a child get too much sensory input where to the point where they're overloaded? They shut down. They go into child's pose. My nephew does it all the time. And I was like, look at him. What is he doing? I'm like, he's in child's pose. That's what we do. But then for some reason in adulthood, we forget it and we forget that we can do these things, that we can connect to our rawness and like allow it to be okay. Whereas like as adults, if we get too much sensory overload, like we'll have another drink or we'll smoke a joint, which is great. Like that's fine too. Like people do that. That's okay. Like plant medicine is awesome. Like I'm all about plant medicine. It is amazing. But different types of avoidance techniques, like whether it be sexual, you know, cocaine addictions, like addictions, basically shopping, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like we avoid how we're feeling. Empaths like that are woke find appropriate ways to kind of like deal with their pain. That's what I've been trying to say for the past 5 or 10 minutes.
That's okay. I just love listening to you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You're like, I'm babbling now.
No, I don't feel like you were. So do you feel that you have time for your own practice, even though you're a teacher? Like, do you teach quite a bit during the week?
Yeah, I do.
How many classes do you teach a week?
Between 10 to 15.
Damn.
Yeah. I love it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love teaching.
Where do you teach?
I teach at Oxygen Yoga in Fitness in Maple Ridge, Port Moody, Poco, and Kits.
Yeah.
It's totally fun.
Do you have time to practice your own practice?
Yeah. But I don't do yoga daily. I do yoga on my own practice when I'm processing bullshit within myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because yoga is what I come to when I need to learn about myself. And when I need to learn about more of who I am and what's, like, if I'm processing large amounts of pain or discomfort in any way in my emotional body, I don't want it to manifest into, like, a physical ailment, so I do yoga. And then that moves the energy through my body, so then I don't get sick.
Yeah, that's so smart.
And it works every time.
Wow.
Like
that is so deep what you just said there.
Boom!
Okay. Yeah,
don't want to get sick. Go to yoga.
Yeah, well, it's just like, the, like, disease.
Mm-hmm.
Break it up. The body is in dis-ease.
Yes.
You
disease
know?
Does
like,
not exist in a body that's at ease. It mm-hmm. exists in a body that is in dis-ease.
Yeah, so if you're holding on to something, even if it's just like, it could literally...
If you're getting sick a lot, it is time to go in.
Yeah.
It is time to listen. Listen to what's happening. And it's not even viruses and like your common cold. I'm talking vertigo. Have you ever experienced vertigo before? Have you ever researched vertigo? Holy shit.
I've never had it, but...
People that have vertigo, I'm like, let's talk! Get over here! You are disconnected to your spiritual practice. It's time to go deep. Vertigo basically is like where you can't even see. Like everything's spinning. Like you kind of feel like you're in an alternate reality. You can't even open your eyes. You get flashing lights and you're just like, ugh. And it's like a disconnection
horrible.
To your spiritual practices. It's a disconnection to what you're experiencing in your waking life and what you've been told. So your beliefs are holding you back from living your authenticity. That's what vertigo is.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had vertigo.
Yeah. So, nice. Like, that's what I mean, like, even stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, it could be anything. Like, it could be sciatica. It could be, like, there's therapeutic applications for, like, every physical ailment through yoga. So yoga is, like, my medicine, basically. I do, so that's to answer your question, is, like, I do yoga when it's as medicine. It's when I feel myself getting sick. Because I feel myself being burned up. There's something happening emotionally inside of myself.
Wow, you're just so self-aware. Jeez, fuck.
I have to be. Yeah. I'm so empathic. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be. When I'm not, when I'm disconnected and I go on autopilot, it's like shooting myself in the foot. That's how it feels. Like, I'm smacking myself in the face on a daily basis if I don't go within. It's like, for me, it's like being a fish out of water.
Yeah.
If I'm not living this level of, like, self-awareness. Because I don't like being in pain. I don't know about you, but I don't like being emotionally distraught and depressed.
It's the worst.
And have anxiety. That doesn't feel good. I don't enjoy living a life of anxiety and depression and stress. So I figured out a way to eliminate those things so that I can live the life of my dreams. Not just a comfortable life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the life of my dreams where I wake up every single day, like, blessed to be alive, just like skipping through life. That's how I feel today.
I can just tell that's how you feel today. And I'm like, I'm getting the energy too. And I'm like,
yeah, every day.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I wish, like, more people in the world just need to go in and fucking sit with their shit.
Sit with your shit. Totally. If you're feeling emotional pain and you're not happy, that's okay. It's beautiful. You're human. And pain is amazing because it forces growth. I talk about in my classes a lot that, especially in, like, pigeon's pose.
Oh, God. And, any hip openers, they just make you bawl your eyes out.
For sure. Yeah. Right? Because you're learning to sit with the pain. But a lot of the times when we experience certain levels of pain, and I learned this from the book, The Love Warrior, when I was reading it, when I was leaving my husband, I was going through that whole process, learning to love myself, is that we don't sit with our pain long enough to accept all of the gifts that it has to teach us. We pass it off like hot potato. So we immediately feel discomfort and we numb. Again, alcohol, shopping, sex, whatever it is for you, right? But yoga teaches us to sit. You don't have your cell phone. You are on your mat for 5 minutes with one knee up by your fucking face and one leg straight out behind you. Sit with your pain!
Oh my God, I didn't say that. Next time. Sit with your motherfucking pain.
Sit with your pain. Like, you don't need to. I always say, no one's ever died in pigeon's pose. I promise you, you will survive.
Yeah.
You're okay. Breathe. Focus on your breath. And then when the time is right, then you make the decision moving forward. But if we make immediate, emotional, irrational decisions for our lives, you are like a drunk scorpion. What is the Buddha saying? You're a scorpion or a monkey stung by a scorpion drunk.
Oh, wow.
That's how a lot of the Buddhist and yoga philosophy will call Westerners.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what we are to them. We're just that shit crazy. We're just like
so funny.
Numbing and so true, just attaching though. To people, energy vampires, attaching to people, attaching to experiences, attaching to things, where you're just getting like it's a cheap source and it's borrowed energy from other people. So what I teach through coaching and through in my yoga classes is to slow all of that down and to find that infinite source that's inside of you, and you can't get it anywhere else, and it's authentic and it's like in abundance, free-flowing. But you have to learn to sit with your shit long enough to make the decision that you need to, that will be a lasting change, to step into more of the life that you were always meant to live, versus like doing what you think you're supposed to be doing and like going on autopilot and walking around bumping into walls, which was me.
Bumping into walls
for 27 years.
Well, yeah, that was like me too. I went to university and like got a degree because I just wanted to make my parents proud, and then I was like, I don't want to fucking do this. I don't want to go to law school. Like, I don't want to be in school anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in this institutionalized setting, sitting down and just like...
A number, a statistic.
Totally. Yeah.
That was me too. I struggled a lot with school. A lot. I could not function.
Yeah.
Yes. Because it's just not an environment that I was able to thrive in. I thrive with people and connections and movement of the body and like having real conversations like this. Yeah, like you're so beautifully doing on your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
What an amazing platform for people to tell their story.
Exactly. That's exactly what I want. And then more people to find you and all the stuff and just share all the love.
Yeah. But if you're interested, we can talk about the LGBTQ community.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Talk about it. Why is that so funny? Spit out your teeth. I'm gonna pause it because I have to go pee anyways.
Okay. Oh my god, I will spit out my tea.
Oh my gosh.
Talk about it.
Like, I guess maybe from people that have known you before and, like, were they shocked? It's like, oh, you're dating a girl now. Like,
yeah, I get asked that a lot.
You're gay now. Like, what the hell? Like, anything like that?
Yeah, legit question. Yeah. From my ride or dies, they were like, cool. And that's how it should be. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to use the word should, but in this case, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
With the LGBT community, especially, like, representing them in this conversation is, like, super important. So, when someone tells you that they're gay or that they're dating, you know, someone of the same sex, it's kind of like, okay, cool. You want to go grab breakfast or something? Yeah. It's on to the next thing.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a big deal because why is heterosexual the default setting? Who made that rule? Who made that rule?
Yeah, really. So, who did make that rule?
My ride or dies. No, they were, and you know who you are. They were totally like, yeah, cool, man, awesome, you want to go grab breakfast?
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, but like I've had people that have asked questions and been like, how is that even possible? Like, you were married to a guy for like 7 years, and I was like, yeah, I was living a lie. I was lying to myself. I didn't even know it. But again, if we go deeper into the conversation, it's about not so much about me being quote-unquote gay or quote-unquote lesbian or quote-unquote bisexual or whatever label society wants to put on it so that they can better understand. It's about being human. And the only time that someone is actually gay is if they label themselves as being gay. I don't really label myself as being gay. I label myself as being gender fluid or queer. So so like sexually at the end, like gender-wise, like I just am. Like, I just am. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm really cisgendered, which is, like, where you fully identify with the sex that you were born with, but that you exist just, like, in a realm, in a plane where this is, like, I view myself as, like, this is the body that I've been given. This is what the one that my soul chose. And, like, sure, cool, yeah. Like, if I'm going to be revered as, like, a she, then, like, that's cool, too. I don't really care either way, though, because I'm just me. Which is great because I think that the LGBTQ community is kind of like misinterpreted a lot in today's society.
For sure.
Like there's the common misconception that like we're extremely promiscuous, that we have a lot of like sexually transmitted diseases flowing around, that I'm a girl, that I'm going to be hitting on like every girl that I encounter. Like it's no different than like a dude or a heterosexual couple. Like we are all just people and we're attracted to people.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's all it is.
I've just noticed with me, the people like that I've been attracted to have been dominantly women. There has been men that I've been attracted to, feminine men that embrace their feminine and their masculine. Because we have both. Every single one of us has feminine and masculine energy inside all of us. It's 50-50. I firmly believe that. But not a lot of dudes are comfortable in expressing their femininity because of how they were raised. And it's not their fault. So a huge part of like even the retreats that I'm planning with Jess are teaching. And I've aligned myself with some very powerful, beautiful men in their 40s and 50s that have embraced their femininity and that are ready to teach other men how to be men. And then powerful women to hold space for that process to happen.
Sick.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's gonna be fire.
Men need to feel like they can express themselves and they don't right now. And it's bullshit. And my heart goes out to them. So I want to help. I want to do something about that. Because there's so many men that are full on in their masculine and think that they have to walk around with these big egos and think that
they can't show the core of who they truly are. And I can't imagine, like, I mean, I can. I know how that feels.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, like, I do.
That way, too.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my gosh, you're just doing so many amazing things for this planet. You're just such a light.
Aw, thanks, boo. And when I came into a relationship with a woman, I noticed discrimination as I started living my life. Like, we've been scoffed at, we've almost been spat on a few times, like, from holding hands.
Shut the fudge up.
And that's, I'm really glad that I'm saying this, because it's like, people think that it's not there, but discrimination for race, for gender, and for your sexuality is very, very prominent in today's society. If you are white, if you're white privileged, and if you're heterosexual, then you have a huge voice in this community, and for any discriminated pocket of people, for you to, like, speak up and kind of, like, we call them allies. Like, they're, like, our most powerful allies that, you know, that we can get together and talk about it. And just, like, have these conversations. They're so important. Just having this conversation. Anyways, when I noticed that that discrimination was starting to happen to me, and I started realizing that I was being put into, like, a marginalized group now that I'm, you know, with a woman, I dove really deep into research about the LGBT community and, like, how far it's come. And the history of it, mm-hmm. like dating back from like the 1960s with like certain hate crimes that have happened in the States. And like there was this huge shooting that happened in LA, I think back in 1965. It was like the black something. I can't remember fully what the name of it was, but just these like pivotal moments in history. And I came across Nico Tortorella and his podcast, and he is amazing. And he talks about love. That's why it's called the love bomb. It's like a bomb of love to like make space for more love to come in. And he talks about being queer and fluid. Like, that's how I identify with being, I'm fluid. I'm not a lesbian. I'm not gay. If I had to put a label on it to make other people understand what I am, at the end of the day, I am human.
Yeah.
And I am existing on the same spinny rock that you are. And we are the exact same. You know, like equality.
You know,
for all, always.
Like, yeah, exactly. We all came from the same, like, stardust.
Yeah.
We're all the same. Like, yeah. Namaste. My soul honors the freaking light in you, because it's in me. Like, it's just.
Yes, exactly.
We are one, and it's just.
I have that tattooed on my shoulder because I believe in that so hardcore.
Yeah, because it's true.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So yeah, the community is so far to go, but I think that we're doing a really good job, and more people are having the conversations, and more people are coming out. There's so many men and women, human beings around the world that are, you know, and when I say men and women, even then is like male identified human, female identified human, because boy or girl, he and she, that's becoming obsolete. Like eventually 20, 30, 40, 50, I don't know how long it's going to take, years down the road, there is not going to be pink and blue, he and she, gender reveal parties. Like the LGBT community laughs at that shit.
At gender reveal parties.
Because there are boys and girls, human beings, at the age of 2 and 3 years old, pretty much by the age of 3, a human being will pick their gender. Will either identify with the gender that they were born with, or they will rebel. And they become a trans child. There are trans children all around the world that are struggling hardcore because of the expectations that society is putting on you from the moment that you're born,
mm-hmm.
to be and act and look a certain way. A little boy wearing a dress and putting on lipstick. That makes a lot of people very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah, why?
Why, right? And why? It's the expectation that it comes with, that you're a boy, you play with trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You wear blue. You have dinosaurs on your t-shirt and you like girls. And that's just the way it needs to be. And it's not. That's not the truth.
Oh, my God.
It's bullshit.
Yeah, just think.
Bullshit!
Saying it out loud like that, it's like, mm-hmm. I wonder if I ever had a kid, mm-hmm. say he was a little boy, he wanted to wear a dress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd like to think, I'd be like, wear whatever the hell you want. My parents let me wear oh, my God. There's some photos of me. I'm like, what the fuck am I wearing? I'm like, backwards cool pants. Yeah, good. I had a flowered shirt and then long-ass boy shorts that, like, nice. Went down to my knees. And then, oh, yeah, socks and sandals.
That's awesome.
That
is awesome.
Oh, and the chokers before they're, like, back in, like, the plastic chokers.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that phase.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, my parents are awesome. And it's like, I just do the same. It's like, who gives a fuck? Do you?
Totally. Just do you. And that's amazing that if you're born up with parents that have been woke to that and they just let you let you be who you are. Because that's what a parent's role is, mm-hmm. basically, is that you have birthed a vessel. You have grown an avatar. That's how I view it.
Yeah.
In your physical body, you have birthed a human vessel and a soul has stepped in. And now it is time for you to get to know that soul and to facilitate the growth and allow them to find their own signature in life. And that's it. That's the sole purpose of a parent. The sole purpose. It's just like facilitate the growth and guide them. Just guide them.
And you're a parent. I don't know if we said that. Did we say that earlier? Mommy. I don't know if we said that earlier.
I think it came up just like telling them. I was married, kid, house.
Yeah. You're a parent too.
I have a 4.5-year-old. Yeah, so I'm speaking from experience. Yeah. That's good to know. It's good for people listening to know.
Yeah.
And I was also an early childhood educator for 7 years. Amazing. So preschool teacher for people that don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I've worked with a lot of kids and I've seen a lot of children that would you know, if their parents were woke, probably would have identified their child as being trans already in the community at an early age. Little girls and boys that were dressing completely out of what society expects you to be. And that's one of the reasons why I cut my hair. And people are like, what the fuck? Why'd you cut your hair?
Yeah. Because you had long, beautiful brown hair.
Yeah, super long, dark brown hair. And I cut it off because I wanted to... First and foremost, I did it for myself just so that I could experience this side of me that I've never felt comfortable with experiencing, like embracing more of my masculine and my feminine, because for so many years I was in my feminine, you know, married and with the apron on, making cookies at home and all that, mm-hmm. all that jazz. And that's great for some people. Some people thrive on that. They love it. That's fantastic. It just wasn't me. So I'm embracing the dualities of my gender binariness, non-binary, which means like I don't really identify with being male or female. Like I just kind of am. I'm somewhere in the middle.
Mm.
So me cutting my hair, and for most people that are queer and that are woke to the experience of being spiritual, but also like outside of what society says that who you should like, has a lot given me the opportunity and the platform to just kind of like not really care and live that wild human experience life and cut my hair to see how it feels. And so far it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. It's a lot cooler in the heat when I teach, but you get treated differently. You get a different energy comes around you from society for sure. It's a good energy though that I've experienced so far because I'm a balance. So like I said, I'm somewhere in the middle. So like I still love wearing makeup and I'll put on like full makeup. And the other night I was out wearing a skirt and high heels with my short hair and it was fabulous and I loved it. But other days like today, like I'm in like a cut off wolf shirt and like pants from the men's section at H&M.
With snowflake Christmas socks.
Awesome. So yeah, it's just like for me, it was cutting my hair was part of that, like not needing to or feeling the need to fit within the expectations that society, the gender specific norms that society puts you in. Yeah. So that kind of like sort of destigmatizes things for a lot of lesbians because people stereotype lesbians be like, oh, they all have short hair. But why? Where does that come from? Right. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're doing it to look like a lesbian so that people know that we are. And again, fuck the label of lesbian. But like, I'm just saying it to like so people understand so that I can like so that I can appeal to like your audience of like someone that's listening to this and maybe be a little bit curious about it. It's not so much about like, hey, I'm a lesbian. Like, this is me. And like, I'm butch. And like... I have 10 plaid shirts and I do things. It's about when I stepped into being open to dating someone of the same sex, as I woke up out of society's norms, I realized that I have both feminine and masculine inside of myself. And I am someone that, and not all lesbians are like this. There's super femme lesbians out there that are still full in their feminine. But for me, it was an invitation for me to express both my masculine and my feminine. And I just don't feel like I have to have long hair to be beautiful.
Absolutely not.
Or to be successful. Or to have an amazing partner. Or to have a beautiful life. I can look and act and have tattoos and breathe and be in any way that I want. And still live a successful, abundant life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
If that makes sense.
That makes so much sense.
I don't know honestly. If that made any sense no, at all. No, it did.
You make so much sense.
Don't do worry. I? Yeah. I'm trying really hard
don't,
to.
Don't even
my brain's starting. I'm like, am I tying it together or am I just babbling away?
my bio on the Wild Soul podcast is also like, oh yeah, with the occasional crazy person, so you can.
There you go.
Totally kidding. But, okay.
I'm in that category.
Oh my gosh, Jess, this has been such a good combo.
Thanks. I think so too. I love you too. So
thank you for sharing your story and just like even opening up my eyes, which even just that last conversation. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, so right. You're so welcome.
Where can everyone like pimp yourself out? Where
yes.
Can find ya.
I love it. Pimp myself out.
Do it.
Do it.
Yeah. Well, you kind of already said, but you can say again if you want.
Oh, my. how to find me? Mm-hmm. On my Instagram, womanifest_Jess. Thank you again for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Such a great combo.
Yay. I'm so excited for people to know you. I mean, people already well know you, but more people if people totally. Listen to this.
Yeah. This is okay. An amazing platform.
Thank you. You're so welcome. Thank you. You're love welcome. You.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you guys have questions, I can be reached at ShannonPetersFitness@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at queen.namaste or my website www.queennamaste.com.